Martin Luther King once said, "The first movement of reconciliation has to come from the one who has been offended, not from the one who offended." Years of slavery and prejudice Martin Luther King's people had endured, and he's saying, even if they never say they're sorry, and they never have, there have been a couple of different attempts in Congress to make some sort of an official apology for slavery, and it never goes anywhere. For some reason or other, the white people in this country are just not willing to make that reconciliation. But King says it doesn't make any difference, because the first movement has to be from the one who has been hurt. Now, that first reading is a case in point. Saul was the anointed king of Israel, but the Lord was displeased with him. And so he raised up David. And so David and Saul become kind of in competition with each other. One is, of course, much older than the other. David is just a young man at this point, maybe 20-ish. And the biblical account presents him as innocent and extremely gifted, and Saul is jealous, and so Saul is trying to kill him. So he marches out with a number of men out into the wilderness searching for David and his troops with the idea of killing David. So then David is presented with this opportunity to kill Saul. He comes up on his camp at night, and there he is lying asleep with his spear right next to him. And David's assistant says, "Let me just run the spear through him. Let's kill him right now." And David says, "No." So then David goes off to an opposite hill, stands there with Saul's spear as a way of saying, "I was there. I took this from you. Send an attendant to come and get your spear back. I could have killed you, but I didn't." In other words, David is the one who is being sought. He's the one who is attempted to be killed. But he makes the first move in not killing Saul. And what we don't hear from this passage heard this morning, the next few verses, is about Saul being overwhelmed by that act of mercy and the two of them reconcile. This is what Jesus is talking about in the gospel. Reconcile with people who don't seem to want to reconcile with you. Lend to those who won't pay you back. What good is it for you if you love the ones who love you back? Even the pagans do that. Even sinners do that. There's no merit in that. The real merit is reaching out to someone who is your enemy, someone who is offending you and doesn't seem willing to stop offending you. But the reading that really puts it all together, I think, is that second reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. And he's talking about the first Adam and the new Adam. The first Adam comes from the earth and is earthly. And we are descendants of that Adam. And so we bear the image of that Adam to a certain degree. We call it original sin. It's this tendency that we humans have toward our darker nature to be unforgiving, to be offensive, to be hurtful, to be greedy and proud and selfish. But then there's the new Adam, Christ, who doesn't come from the earth but comes from heaven. And so imagine Paul's vision here. It's like coming from two different directions. From the past, sinful Adam tends to control us. We bear his image. But coming from the future, from the realized heavenly kingdom, comes the new Adam, and he is a life-giving spirit. And so we also bear the imprint of him. And he acted on our behalf before we knew we even needed it. In another passage, St. Paul says to the Romans, God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died on the cross before we even knew we needed redemption, before we said we were sorry, before we even hoped that reconciliation with God was possible, he died for our sins. God is always preemptive. We don't reconcile with God. God reconciled with us before we even wanted to, 2,000 years ago already, before the world began. God knew each of our sins and forgave them. Now, one of the sacraments of reconciliation, of course, is confession, but another one is Eucharist. Eucharist forgives venial sins. And there's something reconciling and healing about gathering here around this altar and remembering that act, that preemptive act of Christ, and saying that we live our lives in the context of that preemptive act. So we do Eucharist, and Eucharist is a Greek word that means to give thanks. And the more we give thanks for that with our whole being, with our whole heart, we get transformed into that. So that prior action of God that is in a way coming from the future but is also coming from the past, it surrounds us, it contextualizes our existence. If we give ourselves completely to this celebration, then ever so gradually we get transformed into the very thing we are celebrating. We become reconcilers and healers. We become the people who can do what Christ says in the Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Plain. We can actually live that in a way that isn't humanly possible. Remember, David is able to steal Saul's spear and get out of there alive because the Lord put them into a deep slumber. It wasn't so much that David was such a great person, but he was graced. God made it possible for him to be that beneficent. So when we're trying to live out the Beatitudes, when we're trying to live that gospel Christness that Luke so eloquently describes there, we have to remember that it isn't just on our human determination that we do that, but we do that with grace. And so one of the reasons we're here this morning is to receive that grace and allow that grace to wash over us and to transform us into what we want to become in Christ.